Hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today I'm in Lillishall with Peter Crook. Morning, Pete.
Morning, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good. Do you want to go straight in? Who are you? People probably go, who is this man?
Who's this random person you've got sat in the lovely Lillishall Gardens? So my name's Peter. I work at England Hockey. My job title is Resource Officer. So I basically involves creating the coach development stuff that goes on the Hockey Hub. So the resources, the videos, the cards. I make some stuff that goes alongside the courses and workshops. So some of the takeaway stuff you get there, some of the stuff that's delivered there. I've created that. I also work with David Elworthy, who's been on here a few times. So I do some of the umpire development stuff, and just some bits around the office to help England Hockey reach the digital age, I suppose.
Okay. So if we break that down a little bit, the Hockey Hub, let's talk about the Hockey Hub. What is the Hockey Hub? I imagine that the majority of the listeners will use it, and if not, then this will be a good introduction to why they should use it, I suppose.
Yeah, so the Hockey Hub was created as like an online resource bank for coaches to use. It started off as a lot of video content, which in my opinion, some of the stuff, there's no other sports that have anything like that in terms of the content, the people that we have talking about some quite high level stuff, and actually then how do we bring it to life. So there's a lot of games, there's a lot of stuff that you can actually take out on the pitch. You can, it's there, if you've got it on your phone, like that, can I deliver this practice. You've got lots of examples of how to deliver it. There's a lot of what good looks like, so we talk about the end in mind, and there's all the different levels within that. But there's actually, so what does the end in mind look like? What's good? How do I get little Jimmy of 10? How does he become the next Barry Middleton? What does that look like for him? And then within that, there's every coach is coaching at a different level. So there's the talent section. There's a section for coaching children and a section for coaching clubs. So actually, we can then start to break it down what's relevant to that group of people, and actually start to really target some really good resources for those specific groups.
Cool. And then umpiring wise, what's in the umpiring section?
The umpiring section, so there's a lot of online CPD modules. So how to manage stick tackles, how to manage the aerial ball, some quite, let's say, stuff that happens on every Saturday in every pitch up and down the areas. Ball's thrown up in the air and there's two people stood on the ball. Umpires get half of them right, half of them wrong. So actually, how do we develop those umpires into making sure we get more right than we do wrong? There's the online test that everyone who takes level one has to take, which sends them there. We've got the you're the umpire section. So the bit in there where there's a call or a video clip of an incident that's happened, and then they get sort of 2 weeks to discuss of what decision would you give, or has the decision there, would you agree with that? And then the full clip, and from our umpire and expert gives his full in-depth review on how that umpire's come to that decision.
It's like a competition now, isn't it? I didn't realise.
It's not really a competition. We don't really give any prizes away, but there's some very good answers.
I think when I chat to David, he was talking about people like to try and get the answer right first, and they try and get that in, was I first, was I not? And that is a really good thing for the umpires to have. Lots of resources on it, but I don't think it's used to its max potential.
I think that, we could definitely market stuff better. We need to find a way to sort of penetrate different markets and get different people using it. Joe Bloggs coach generally just likes to pick up a session plan and go and deliver that. Mm-hmm. They tend to get that from other places that we wouldn't normally want people to go. Maybe previously we'd have sent them there. We've now, we're trying to create a suite of resources that our coaches can go and use. We're happy for them to deliver, and there's actually, really good sort of game-based practices that we want people to go and deliver, and they don't really need much support in delivering those, because we should have given them enough. And if we haven't, then I'm happy to try and create stuff that will help people more.
Yeah, that's cool. So the golden thread, golden thread's on there. There's lots of stuff around the golden thread. There's lots of stuff around the end in mind.
Yep.
There's also stuff on there about the development theme. So if any of that is alien to people, or you think I'm really struggling, they just go to Hockey Hub,
click on coaches, whether you're, so if you're in the children's if you're coaching children land or you're coaching club land, that'll take you through to that section. And there's a link there and a video to the digital document that got released earlier this year. So that's got information on what you need, where you need it, courses, what should have everything you need in there. And then if you click on talent, there's a, you know, there's a section in there with all the stuff with talent, but also a link to our talent development framework, which was released the year before that. And again, that should hopefully have everything to support talent coaches, club coaches. And we're always looking to develop our resources. We're always looking to add to it. So if anyone has any ideas, we're happy to, you know, like we're having conversations here. We chat to coaches everywhere, and we try and take those that feedback and their suggestions on board.
So where a lot of the videos recorded, is that anywhere? How does that go? How do you start that?
What sort of video? Which ones are the game based practice?
Yeah, the game based practice. What?
So, sort of the first set of those were quite a couple of years ago now. They were done in down at Marlow with Danny Newcomb and Demi.
Yep.
And they developed most of the practices with support of Scott McNeil to make sure that they're on message. Since then, that was the first stab. We've kind of developed that on more. Mm-hmm. So now we there's a lot more into the coaches talking about the practice. So talking to camera about the practice. So the most recent ones we've done, again, you know, Demi's at the heart of that. Danny Newcomb's done a few more. Lucy Moore's done some. The coaches come up with the practices. They're the practices that they use day in, day out, week in, week out.
I thought Lucy's were really good for because it showed you at one club, again it may have been Marlow, but at the club there, different, like a Saturday morning session or a Sunday morning session, different sessions within the session, what's going on, all the different age groups being delivered, and that you don't need to be like this level two coach somewhere in this, you know, in this speak that everyone uses, and we need a level two coach. Well, we know that's not correct anyway, but actually she then was showing how the helpers, some of them were parent helpers, some of them were young helpers, were leading the session. It was all about the head coach, which was technically her, for them just giving them the activities, introducing it, and then moving it on.
I think that whole thing is just, it's about competence and knowledge, really. It's not, you know, if you've been given something to go and deliver, there's, as long as you've got the framework around it to go and deliver, I think most people should be able to, especially at you know, to under eights, they just want to play. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hit a ball against a fence. They, you know, they want to score goals. They want it to be exciting. They want some sort of it to be funny. They want to, you know, and that's what it's about. And that's you want them to resonate, actually being happy, fun.
Yeah.
And then when they get to 15, 16, 17, they might become a talent player, and they might actually need the, like, this is what you need to do. This, and it, but then that the fun dial will get turned down, but in terms of what they perceive as fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sort of stuff, I think it's really the stuff. The games are good, but I think the stuff around the stuff that supports the game. So the people that are delivering, they're really important.
Mm-hmm.
The golden thread, actually making sure that if we can get the golden thread through our practice, we should be a long way there to making sure that those kids are going to be enjoying themselves. And it's not about the technical side of it at that age. It's about them just playing.
Been interrupted by a Lillishaw tractor. Happy days. Cool. So for me, the Hockey Hub's a great resource.
Yeah.
Where's it looking to go? What were you looking to develop on it at the moment?
So we've done a few live streams. So we've done one with Danny Newcomb on a practice design.
Yeah.
We did one with Russell Earnshaw, which he dragged me into it last minute, which was put me on the spot. And I was very, if you've seen it, I was very awkward, like curled up in the corner.
In his kitchen.
We're trying to make it, the stuff, as accessible as possible, and that we're making it relevant to those people, so that if you're doing something live, you can get live feedback, you can get questions there, and can get your, you know, we primed some stuff by people that were on it. We asked them to send some questions in, so that we had, you know, me and Russell weren't sat there talking to no one. We had some stuff that we could talk around, but then if there was people wanted to dive in deeper, they would ask a question, and we would go, you know, dive into that a little bit deeper. But I think that most people want stuff on demand, and they want it now, and they don't want to have to sit there and really watch a lot of content. They want it in short snippets. But if you're doing something live, people are more likely to get involved.
Doesn't that come under coach's membership, the live bit?
That does come under coach's membership. We're hoping to put that out into the sort of worldwide, essentially, because it's all good having a workshop where you get 8 people too, but actually if we had an online workshop where there was 20 people and you've got someone up in the northeast and you've got someone down in Newquay, and they're having their worlds probably completely different, but actually what does their practices on look like? I think that's quite a cool thing to think about, and actually
that's a definite development
that we're looking into. I think there's some that it might not be a practice design. Might be I don't really know where what will be framed around. It's probably essentially it's framed around, you know, the community practices have been so successful that have been going on up and down the country, I think. And that's just the same. It's still regionalised. You know, people in London are probably still have the similar challenges. People opposite ends of the country, their challenges are different. Regionally, pitch wise, pitch timings, the amount of people available to them. Yeah. I think that's. I think we're definitely looking to sort of expand our.
Well, and then video content. Looking to do any more practices? Are we looking to get more stuff on? Or
we've got some stuff in the bank. We're just looking at how we develop Hockey Hub and what it evolves into. We've given a lot of stuff for free. And so it's how much more can we give for free? It's not being a sport as in that respect, we don't have, like the FA have endless pots of money, so it's
Okay, so you're probably looking to put a section on the Hockey Hub where people have maybe even part of the membership.
I think that at some point there has to be some value on stuff. There's a lot of good content and there's a lot of free content, which so it's, I think at some point we have to look at where can we
By the way, we're not near a toilet or anything. We are actually near a fountain. I just realised that it is constant water being trickled in. Cool. Talk to me then about, we talked a lot there then about the coaching side of it. We've talked a little bit about umpiring. Is there any umpire development stuff coming on there? Because there are people that listen to the podcast that do like umpiring.
We're in the process of developing with David Elworthy. David Elworthy's, I'm not going to steal his thunder. It's definitely a David Elworthy product, but a sort of an EH umpiring membership where there'll be, again, some stuff that will only be accessible to those people that have EH membership. It's a good way for us to engage with those people because we know that they're going to be, they're going to be engaged with us because they've got the umpiring membership. So, and a lot of the stuff will stay in the free section for umpires. It's probably more about the CPD for them, is how do we get our umpires better. So essentially, if the game's going to develop, we have to develop the umpires as well.
So that talks about quite a lot of your job role. Is there anything else that you crack on in your job role, or is that pretty much it? Says a member of staff that I should know the answer to this. So,
I get to do some stuff within the player pathway bit.
Yep. Such as?
Can't say right now.
Okay, secret squirrel here.
There's some stuff coming sort of next year for the player pathway bit, which should be good. Which should help bring to life some stuff that goes on in the performance centre world.
So essentially, you're sort of like clipping bits. You're putting together resources.
Yeah.
So I'll throw it in Hockey Heroes new project. Yep. People probably don't even know what that is. But, that's out there. An under-8 project that's around. You've been a tremendous help in creating the resources in and around that. So some of your role has been these cards that are made. So for the Your World Cup, didn't you do?
Did the Your World Cup cards. Yeah,
so the coaching beginner cards and stuff like that. Okay, so, I mean, that essentially is a huge role in putting people's thoughts onto paper, because I'm aware that we don't put things on paper very well at times.
Squiggles,
little diagrams, and your job is to make that come to life.
Yeah.
And again, they're on the Hockey Hub, aren't they? There are example cards on there and stuff like that.
The World Cup cards are on there. There's some of the old In2 cards. There's some of the other cards we've edited and developed to make sure they're more in line with the sort of the new stuff that's coming out. And the Hockey Heroes stuff will we'll be out there and at some point in the future.
Yeah, which is, I'll do a podcast on that with some others. But ultimately, the Hockey Hub itself is a huge bank of resources. There's obviously other bits on there around safeguarding and everything else.
A lot of the people, it's free, or you're on YouTube, you have to search for stuff, and then we hope that it's there and it's easy to access. And once you're in there, there's a lot of stuff for people to go and find and use. And whether it's coaching, whether it's umpiring, there's the quick stick stuff, there's into stuff in there, safeguarding.
It just keeps going, doesn't it?
It will always evolve. We'll always, we're trying to add stuff to it.
There's a bit around why we've changed our philosophy, I suppose. So there's lots of discussions with coaches. So Danny Kerry, I think Bobby's on there as well.
Mark Upton, Bobby, Danny Newcomb.
Yeah. Just explaining why the philosophy changed and the rationale behind it, what they sort of found within research, etc. So cool. So you keep us up to date with that. So that's the day job.
Yeah.
But then also, Peter Crook has a life outside of England hockey, within hockey though. Do you want to talk to us about that life?
I dabble in a bit of coaching.
Okay.
I coach down at Hazelmere, so I coach the ladies' ones down there. It's just a regional ladies' ones team, mm-hmm. but they're a very good group of girls, and they keep me on my toes, which is nice. Mm-hmm. I'm also involved in the performance centre at Guildford.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Why we're here now?
ACP. We're on the ACP. I'm on the ACP, so we're in Lillishaw. We're on the ACP conference. So Gary might be graduating tomorrow. We
possibly.
Fingers crossed for Gary to graduate tomorrow. I'm starting my second year of the ACP journey, which is good. So it's really challenged me a lot. It's made me think about a lot of stuff in different ways. Tried some stuff that hasn't worked, try some stuff that has worked. We all get it wrong, we all get it right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So take me back a little bit then. Did you used to play?
Yeah, I tried to.
You tried to?
Tried to play.
Okay.
Played at uni, had a really good time at uni. Got injured and then couldn't play anymore because I didn't fix my injury.
Okay, what was that? Do you mind if I ask?
I had a reoccurring ankle injury, which I'd never let heal. And then 2 years ago, we were playing five-a-side football, and I detached the ligament.
You did. I remember now because I made you do some stuff.
On the medial malleolus, so the bit that sticks out on the inside of your ankle, I detached. Had a fracture in there, detached the ligament. So I had to have that reattached, but basically I've just always had a fracture in there that never fixed. So every time I played or every time I trained, my ankle would balloon and it would go red, and I just taped it up and played throughout uni, and a little bit afterwards, and then just got to a point where when you're struggling to drive to work on a Monday morning because your ankle's massive, you have to decide what you want to do. And then at the point I was doing some DC and AC coaching for Hampshire, just because I wanted to. It was nice to get out of the house when I was living at home after uni. And then I went and coached a ladies ones team, and then that sort of just developed into the amount of hours that I put in post work and don't get to see my girlfriend now.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about Hazelmere. This interested me last night. I don't know whether you were going in as depth, but how long have you been there?
It's my fourth year there. Start of the fourth season there.
So, and then, like you said, they're playing at regional level.
Yeah.
You've developed as a coach, as you've said. So do you want to talk a little bit about that development and then what you're sort of proposing, or they've proposed, or how you've sort of created this environment for them to move forward?
Yeah, so the first year I went in with my... I tried to impose some of my principles on them, and they took to that in part. We were starting from scratch, so we didn't really have the relationship of asking them what they wanted, how they thought. So when I first went in there, I went in there with a kind of, this is how I want to play, this is kind of my core beliefs around the way that we should be playing, and they bought into that, which was, could have. What they might not have done, and we might not be where we are now. And we were playing at Hampshire 1 at that time, and quite interesting, we lost the first two games, which was So we lost the first two games, which ended up being to the team that won the league and the team that were third. So we had like, except we didn't know at that time, but it was probably the hardest start. So we lost 2-1 and 3-1, and at 3-1 after the to the team that eventually won the league, we sat there and it was, we had some crisis talks because of some, you know, we had some experienced players in the team. We had some new players in the team, and it was like, what do we believe? Like, but like, and it's just like they wanted to change some stuff, and I said, look, we just have to trust the process. You know, for a lot of you, this is new, this is different. How do we get around that? Following game, we fortunately played the worst team in the league. We won 13-0,
right?
And that kind of gave them that actually, no, this does work. And then they bought in. And then from that day, we won every game until the last game of the season, where we had to play top of the league, and we lost 1-0. It was us and them to go up. They won, so they went up, which was heartbreak at the time for them. But actually, for them, they'd never finished above fifth in that league. I think they had a positive goal difference once, but when I say positive, it was theirs were single figures. We were in plus 30, plus 40. They'd never won that many games in a season, so actually, from where they were, was really good. And that was one of the things we wanted from the start, is actually just wanted to get better. They wanted to get better.
That's great. How did you feel? Because as a coach, I think any coach, if they lose the first two games, even if they are trying to develop, and I know that you're massive on trying to get people to develop, so it isn't just around this, we want to win. Winning is great, but also you are trying to develop. You're trying to develop yourself and the players.
Yep.
How did you feel at that point? You feel pressure?
Yeah. Especially when you're having a conversation with, you know, you're having a conversation with players that a couple of them have played there on the National League, and they're on, so, and you're like, they've got 20 years more experience than me, and they know a little bit more about stuff, and you're trying to convince them that the way that I want to do things is the right way. So how
did that happen? Was there a lot of you sort of taking ownership and really forcing them, or did you sort of meet them halfway? Or?
I think at the start, because it was kind of a blank slate, I kind of just went, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And if they were going to come on the journey, then they kind of had to at that point.
Do you feel that was the right way? Would you do it the same now?
I don't know, but I think it worked, but I'm not sure if it wouldn't work for everyone. And actually, if we'd gone on and lost the next five games, is what I've done right? I think it's kind of, do you beat them with the stick, or do you take them to the wall? Like, I think I think it worked in that respect, because they could see that, you know, losing 2-1 and 3-1, it's not, you haven't been played off the park. There was some, you know, opportunities that if we'd put them away, the game would have been different. And it's making them understand that you can lose 3-1 and play well, you can lose 2-1 and play well,
you can win 3-1 and not play so well as well.
There's definitely, you know, definitely lots of games where we, like in the following season, where we won, we had some big wins.
Yeah.
We came off the pitch thinking that we'd played that was the worst we played all season. We'd won 8-0, 7-0, and you're like, you can play well and not win. But to think, actually making getting them to understand that if we can actually get to a point where we're playing a certain way, we'll probably win more than we lose, and then we can start to develop a, what do you want out of it?
How do you think your ACP mentor, Mr. Paul Connolly, would feel about that sort of ownership that you had at the beginning?
Fortunately, I wasn't on the ACP, and he wasn't my mentor then, and things might have been different.
Yeah, that's why I just wondered if you would still do it the same way.
I don't know. I'd probably, now knowing now what I know, I would probably, and that's why what we do now is why what we do. So I'd probably more where I am now, but I think I'd still have to, I think if you're going in somewhere new, I think as a coach, we have to go and give them. I don't think you can just go in and go, like, what do you want to do? Because actually, if I don't agree with what you want to do, as a coach, I don't know how you could coach that. Yeah. I think your core beliefs and your way you want to play.
Yeah.
They have to mix, and if they don't, if they're miles up here on the spectrum and you're the complete opposite end, if things don't go right, there's going to be a clash, and there's only one, they're not going to get rid of the 16 players, they're only going to get rid of the the one coach. The same. So I think that's.
I think that's why it's really important that the coach interacts with the team prior to taking on a role, etc. Because they then can get to understand what each other would like.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll meet somewhere. Anyway, look, I was just intrigued on that bit. Sorry if I probed a little bit. That's all, since then you've moved on. You've developed.
Yeah. So we do an end of season survey. So every year we've done an end of season survey, and it's all, most of it is around them, their thoughts, how they thought the team's done, mm-hmm. what they want, what they don't like, what they do like, and go out for a meal and everyone orders something different because they like different things. You know, with a group of ladies that mm-hmm. range from 14 to nearly 50.
Yeah.
Their range of what they like, their experience of coaching, what they've had and what they like, what they don't like is obviously changing, but actually making sure that it's everything that they do is relevant to them and relevant to, and actually them as a group have a lot of decisions in what we do. So they've got their own set of team principles.
You allowed to share any of those? Just one, two?
So one of the things is why we play.
Okay.
And actually there's probably a list of around 10 things when I asked them why they play, and the main thing that came out is friendship.
Right.
So actually whether we win 12-0, whether we lose 12-0, actually we're still friends. We're still friends at the end of that. Winning was somewhere in the middle because mm-hmm. winning's always better to win than lose. I think the main stuff is around that they all hold each other accountable for the way that they want to play, and if they don't hold each other accountable, then that person's not playing for, they're not playing for each other, they're not playing for the friendship, they're not playing for the reasons why they said that they're there.
Okay, and there is that up somewhere in the, do you pin that up, or how's it been shared?
It gets shared at the Stowe pre-match. We share it in sort of our some of the video sessions we've had. It's remember why we play.
Yep.
So actually, we don't really have anywhere that we can put it up. We don't have our own specific change room at the venue at that, so we can't really own the space as much as we'd like to. But it'd be something we'd like to certainly do. But they're something that every pre-match team talk is, that's why we play. Just that's, you play for each other, you play for your friendship, you play for yourselves. That's why you're there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Anything else? So where have we moved into? What's the new season going to look like for you? This is the bit that when we were eating dinner last night, I was
Pete
like, ooh.
Pete could be sacked too. so that we're talking about holding each other accountable. There's, a lot of sort of feedback during the season in games and stuff was Pete, you need to say this, or Pete, can you do that? And then it's post-match, we'd have conversations with people and it'd be like, I think we need to do this, or we think we need to do that. And it's like, okay, so why don't you tell her? Why don't you say that? So now we're getting to that place.
So they wanted you to communicate on where that player should have been on a pitch.
Because
they felt that was your job.
They felt that was more job, probably maybe might have carried a little bit more weight in a conversation.
Okay. Yep.
So if we go back to the principle of friendship, actually, you should be able to tell someone who's your friend pretty much, or why you play, if that's what it is. So it's going to be so this year we're going to try in a couple of games as a post-match debrief, let people lead that and let people give positive or negative feedback and
developmental
feedback and see where that lands with the group.
And how has that emerged? How has that sort of happened?
That's kind of off the back of the survey, kind of off the back of the conversations that we had of actually there. It's not my team, it's our team. So actually, if people want to give feedback, people want to give feedback to me. I'm going to be in the room as well. So Pete's completely up for grabs to say, why haven't you changed it? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? And I hope I'll be able to take that on the chin at the time. And it's a way to move forward, and it might not work.
Okay.
And that's I think it's one of those, is being comfortable but uncomfortable. Is that what it is?
Being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
And I'm kind of I don't think I'm quite there yet with that, but I'll see.
Might be soon, mate.
I'm gonna have to make myself very comfortable with it soon. So I think.
So when you did your survey, was this a majority of people? Was this people that were unexpected that you came back and told this, or was this some of the stronger characters? Again, just
a bit of both, really. A lot of it. It might not. Not everyone would have said. You know, that we've got this, you know, we've got certain stuff that we want to do, mm-hmm. and people need to be held accountable for X, Y, and Z in that structure with it. So I think, but having conversations post match during the game, this is, you know, it's actually, you can go and change that. You can go and have those conversations mm-hmm. with your teammates, and it shouldn't have to come from me.
Yeah,
if you're recognising that, brilliant. So actually, the fact that people are recognising it means people are actually starting to understand the game, they're starting to understand what they're doing, then it's how they need to now have the confidence to recognise that. And as long as it fits in with our playing principles and their performance principles, they should have the complete right to say that to someone.
Is there going to be any principles about how we communicate?
Yes.
Or, okay, right.
it's not a personal attack on you as a person is the overlying the theme right. with it, but... It can't, you know, it's...
Because I imagine that some people would fear that in your shoes. Some coach would be thinking, we've got some powerful individuals here
I fear that.
Yeah, okay.
But I think if you don't try it, you'd never know. And actually, if we don't do it, we're doing the same stuff we're doing last year. Are we developing? So then we're standing still. We're just... Mm-hmm. And actually, the principles might evolve this year, so they might change. They might decide, actually... Winning is more important than friendship. They might. They might.
How do you feel about that?
Huh?
How would you feel about that?
I'd probably ask why they think that. What's changed? Why?
Because they're still paying their match fees and membership.
Still paying your match fee. You're not getting paid to play.
Yeah.
You're not on any. We're not on performance bonuses.
They don't get a win bonus, do they? Not? So okay.
They might get a bottle of Prosecco at the Christmas meal from me, like, if they're playing well. No, I'm joking. But they're playing regional ladies hockey. Then everyone's all pushing for national league. I don't think we are. We just want to get better. And that's their kind of their remit is we just want to get better. We just want to play the best hockey that we can play.
Okay.
And for me, that make you know.
This is their thoughts about how they could play better is individual and group feedback.
Yeah.
It's a major shift though from where you came in. You set some principles up which seemed to be sort of coach led with a little bit of player led at the start. There's probably more dialed up coach than there was dialed
at
up player
at the start, but I think I had to go in with some idea of how I wanted them to play. Mm-hmm. I think when in the coaching style When we're actually delivering on the pitch, actually a lot of it's getting them to understand why we play. So actually letting them lead stuff, letting them talk a lot, just stepping out on that. Actually, they can own some stuff, and they get there. You know, we still play a little bit of buzzword stuff they think I want to hear. And then the first 2 years was literally about the way that we wanted to play. Last year we were talking a lot more about detail stuff. So actually. Those minor details of, in certain situations of, this is what's gonna make the difference now because they understand the ways that they want to play. Mm-hmm. They want to attack a certain way, they want to defend a certain way.
Yeah.
They have some principles around each one of those, and actually now it's the details. How do they affect those principles?
Cool. Okay. Fascinating. I think we might need to chat after game. 2, 3, see how that's going. I'm intrigued. I've never looked at your results. I might look now.
Might be looking for a new job.
Do you feel that your coaching journey, do you think that the ACP, do you think working, I suppose, in the job that you do with the Hockey Hub, do you think that that's helped you sort of develop this?
Exposure I get to certain environments is massive. So Paul works at England Hockey, but he's also my mentor. Yeah. So he was like priming or probing me before I knew he was my mentor. He was asking me some pretty deep questions about me as a person and me as a coach. And I still now, when I after I've met him, I'm in my car and I'm like, why has he asked me that question?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it for about 5 days, and then I phone him up and we're having a conversation, and he's, have you thought any more about this? And he was like, oh. And he's like, I've literally just stopped thinking about that, Paul. And then he's, and he probes it again. So no, like, Paul's been amazing as a mentor. He really, he's kind of really started to stretch me and push me and pull me. And
what do you think you've learnt about yourself?
I don't know everything, and there's like, as much, you know, as much as people go, oh, that was really good, and you're like, a lot of it's, you know, you can see something that works and you take it and you put your spin on it, and it might not work for that group, it works for a different group. I think that I'll go and try stuff.
Mm-hmm. You don't mind exploring?
I don't mind exploring. Certainly there's been a lot of failed explorations, just too many to count, but the ones that have worked, they've worked really well. I hope the new one next year is going to work really well.
Why do you think certain things have failed? Is it you? Is it the activity? Is it the group? Is it a mixture?
Anything, right. Weather.
Yeah.
You know, try, you know, do something with a PC group and it works really well. It's a Monday night, it's nice and clear. Go to a Wednesday, oh, I might try. I'll try that with the ladies' ones. Horizontal rain, freezing cold.
Yeah.
You know, someone's had a rubbish day at work. I think there's a lot. I think the factors that make stuff go right or go wrong, and actually, there's a couple of things where I've tried to do stuff and it's fallen flat on its face of the outcomes that I wanted from the training. I was driving home and I thought, well, that didn't really work well. And then we've gone into the Saturday game, and the stuff that we were doing in training but weren't doing it very well, we've absolutely nailed it, and we scored like two or three goals from it. And you're just like, well, they've got it. Like, they did it, and actually, so then it's... Yeah.
So the learning's probably just taking place more.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that session didn't work for the necessarily what I thought it was going to do. I thought I probably, you know, when you design a practice and you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing, this is going to change the world, and then it doesn't. And then you're like, and then you're looking at it, and someone goes, well, there's too many people over here. If we move, and one of your players can recognise that, and you're like, that's what you want. You want them to be able to coach on pitch. You want them to, you know, that's essentially, you want to make yourself redundant. Inverted commas.
To a point, yeah. For me, it's more around, I want to know why some of those decisions were made, and when they're sitting on if there's a game, sitting on the bench, they're not talking about EastEnders or something like that. They're actually talking about what's going on, and they've started to take ownership of that. I wouldn't enforce that, but actually, I've given enough hints with pens and mini whiteboards being in front of them. You'd hope that after a while that, you know, ask the question of what could you be doing right now rather than talking about Dirty Dan in EastEnders. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? They show my age, but you know, I've not watched it, so I couldn't tell you a character. Cool, okay, well, that's interesting. So really good info around the Hockey Hub, really like that. I like that. Hopefully some more people may sign up for free, get access to all of that. Dead simple. Hockey Hub,
hockeyhub.englandhockey.co.uk.
should have known that.
If you're listening from Scotland and Wales, it's .scottishhockey,
right,
or .hockeywales.
Oh, I didn't know that bit, so yeah, okay, that's cool. And then you obviously your own journey, and you are on social media, so you do share some things sometimes.
I'm not massive on social media.
No, but people can engage with you on there. They can engage
with me on Twitter, they can engage with me on Instagram.
I'll tag you in.
I'm not massive on social media, but I'll have a conversation. Yeah. I like to read. I'm more of a secret squirrel, as you referred to me as earlier. I like to read stuff and take it. I'm not necessarily a massive sharer, but I'm happy to talk to people when I talk with them one-to-one. I'm more than happy. Or when we're in group stuff at ACP, I'm happy to share stuff there. So.
And general public, if they've got any questions about Hockey Hub, is there a contact us page on there or something like that?
Yeah, or just hockeyhub@englandhockey.co.uk. We've got an email address that's monitored daily. Yeah. So if you've got questions on
guessing
there.
Guessing that's you.
That's me, yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Right, thanks for the chat.
Cheers, thanks. We'll